So, here's what's wrong with this. I'm sat here tucking into a lovely mint and licorice tea, and you appear to have a chilled glass of white wine in your hand.
Yeah, because of my holiday.
Yeah, but how is that fair? I'm on holiday too.
You organised the holiday.
I did.
Well, I can't help it if you want to drink healthily. That's up to you.
I'm regretting this decision immediately.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 330 of the Mid-Faith Crisis podcast. My name's Nick Page, and sitting right next to me...
with our knees touching...
yes, uncomfortably close, is Joe Davis.
Hello, everyone. Coming to you live from Suffolk. Well, not live.
No, in fact, it'll be several days ago by the time you hear this.
It's so nice to be with you, though.
Yeah.
This is great. Here we are. We're in the sunshine as well.
Yeah.
It's been a beautiful day, and we're here in Suffolk. There's six of us, and we're celebrating my 60th birthday. Again.
Yeah, here's what I notice about Enneagram number sevens.
Yeah.
I've noticed in a few of them. Their major birthdays last all year long. It's like a... yeah. It's like the Jubilee or something. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. If it's good enough for the royalty.
So this is like a year-long celebration, during which time the slaves will be freed and all debts will be written off.
Absolutely.
In commemoration of Joe's birthday. Yeah, so it's lovely. We went out bird watching today at Minsmere.
Yeah, we're staying at this lovely place, Sizewell Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We got up early. Went and saw yeah, your favourite, getting up early. Went and saw Stone Curlews. It was worth it though, wasn't it, for that?
Well, I guess it was. They were a long way away.
Oh, really?
They're a very rare bird. Yeah. There's only one breeding pair or something in the UK,
that.
And we managed to irritate it in some way. I don't know. Anyway, we went to see that, and the weather's gorgeous, and we're here together. But of course, nothing would come in the way of our podcast.
No,
obviously,
of course not.
So obviously, honed and professional as always.
Yeah.
We have prepared a marvellous show for you.
Haven't we just?
It will not at all be affected by last night's celebrations.
No, not at all.
This will be a slightly shorter one, I think, to be honest, because the weather's nice and there's a game of pétanque on offer.
Yes.
And I've got a glass of white wine and you haven't. So I think things will move on fairly rapidly with this episode. But I think I wanted to just to talk to you about getting older then.
Yes.
In that case, it seemed appropriate to talk about that.
Yes, I think it probably is, isn't it?
Because you are now 60.
I am.
And I am obviously still in the prime of life.
You very much are.
Not even
figure of a man.
Not even going to go there. But let's be honest, I have got the senior rail card. I just wanted to know what it sort of feels like from your perspective. How do you feel about getting older, and what changes do you notice? Do you think of yourself as old in any way?
Sometimes, but not most of the time. Mm. I mean, certainly not, emotionally. I don't feel very grown up.
No.
It always worries me what a responsible job I have. It doesn't seem right somehow. I said to my mum when she was about 96, I think, or perhaps she was a bit young, maybe she was only 95, but it was in the last year or so of her life. I said, Mum, when do you feel grown up? She said, well, I feel 16.
Yeah.
She behaved like it. Yeah. A lot of the time. So there is things. But some things do make you feel old. Like, you start thinking about pension and stuff like that, and that makes you feel a bit older. And one or two of the aches and pains.
Yeah, I think physically, things fall apart. But I think I've noticed a lot about the way I feel about growing old is largely reflecting how other people react to me, actually.
Right.
How other people view me. And you become aware at a point that you are viewed as older. Maybe not old, but you're viewed as old. I mean, and I'm increasingly in places where I am the oldest person.
Do people start offering their seat on the train?
I have had that. Yeah, that's distressing. That's a distressing moment. a very polite Asian gentleman offered me a seat on the train. Yeah. Yesterday. So yesterday we arrived at a pub after a walk, a bit earlier, didn't we? And we had to wait for the pub to open. So I sat down and had a nap, only to find a barman looming over me at one point, asking me, "Are you all right, sir? Are you okay?" Some old
checking you hadn't died.
Some old boy
on the premises
had passed out in the pub garden. So I think it's often people's reactions to you. Or I notice references you make, you know, that just people's eyes glaze over and nobody gets, you know. So I don't feel it in myself psychologically or anything like that, or creatively or anything like that. I feel fine, but I do notice people's reactions are different. But I wondered about what you feel has changed now for you, therefore, as you've got older in faith, we often talk about that, but in faith, but also in your walk as a follower of Jesus. What's changed for you over the years?
Yeah, there's much less emphasis, I think, for me on the sort of believing the right stuff and theology and that sort of thing, and far more focus on actually doing the right thing, behaving the right way. Mm. Being a kind, caring person is far more important. And I have less time for people who are experts in other areas but perhaps aren't loving, kind people. It's not to invalidate what they've got to say, but I just don't feel so much like I have to listen to everything that everyone's got to say about everything. I'm looking for the people and the quality of their lives and seeing who I really want to be like as I get older. That seems to me. And I want to get old well. You know, I've noticed, and this is hard to imagine, Nick, that some people do become grumpy old men. I know.
Not heard of such a thing.
No. I'm told it's a phenomenon.
Yeah.
All joking aside, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that is always moaning or, you know, talking about what they used to be able to do. Because it does seem to me that the knack of doing this next stage of life well is being good at letting go, and not least letting go of, you know, your good looks. Not that I ever had them in the first place, so that's quite easy. But letting go of what you used to be able to do and a certain amount of physical energy. And I think, you know, you talked about being an Enneagram 7. I think that recognition of energy is finite. You can't just do everything, and you can't say yes to everything, and you can't be at everybody's beck and call. So you tend to have to be a little bit more choosy now, I think.
Okay.
Are you finding that?
Yeah, I think so. Although in some ways I've always been slightly choosy about being everyone's beck and call. I think it's about, for me, the changes are about where you put your time and energy and what you're aiming for. You know, I think it's a classic sort of Jungian thing in a way. In the first sort of half of life, it's you're focused perhaps on achievement or on certain things, on status, on where you stand, on doing a lot of stuff. And certainly professionally, that's what your life is about. It's about acquisition and achievement and you know, becoming an expert, becoming top of your profession, all this kind of stuff. And I think the second part of life, as you get older, is about meaning. I mean, all of life is about meaning, really, but I think you begin to focus on it a bit more, and it becomes more about the meaning behind what you do and doing the work of wholeness and trying to bring that together. I think it's more of an inward journey, or I've been focused more on inward stuff in the second half of life in terms of realizing how little you can practically affect outside anyway. You know, so the real work of working on yourself becomes even more
important. Do you think you've become more secure in yourself?
I think that's
older, and so you're not driving yourself from the energy of the insecurity that maybe you had as a when you were younger.
Yeah, I think that's necessary, yeah, actually, in order to, yeah, do the work. I think that's the key thing there. You cannot actually do that work of sort of transformation unless you actually are secure in who you are.
Mm.
And I do think that actually for a lot of people, they never become very secure in who they are. And so, in fact, as they get older, they get angrier, or they get bitter or resentful. And part of me wants to grow old disgracefully.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sort of settle down. And be less outrageous. And in some ways, to be honest, as you get older, you get a bit of leeway for that, really. You get more chance to surprise people with being outrageous than you had before. So as an Enneagram 4, you think, oh, great, I can stand out even more now. You know, this is fantastic. But I think it's about putting aside those other things that you realise maybe took up too much of your time and attention. Yeah. I spent so much of my earlier part of life worrying about what people thought about me.
Yeah, me too.
And while I still should worry to a certain extent, in other words, I want to be thought of as someone who is kind and patient and loving and all that kind of stuff, the rest of it I can't control anyway. I'm not worried about it.
No, and I certainly came from, in the past, I wanted everybody to love me. And if 99 people loved me but one person didn't, that would keep me up at night. Whereas I don't think it does now. But what is more important is I want the people who are close to me. You know, those relationships are more important.
Yes, yes.
And nurturing that and making those a higher priority is definitely sort of something I've noticed at this time of life, And that's why, these days are so important to me. I mean, this is the best thing I could have done. This is what I wanted for my birthday. I didn't want a big party with hundreds of people and all that sort of thing. I wanted to take away just some of my closest friends And so thank you for being here.
Well, a lot of them couldn't come, could they? And that's why we ended up here.
And in fairness, I call you friend, but carer as well. Yeah, thinking about it.
Beloved colleague.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll settle for that, if I'm honest. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was our role now, therefore. As you get older, what do you see your role as? It might be a difficult question. Maybe you have multiple roles.
Yeah.
But how would you like to be perceived as, what task are you being called to do? What kind of thing do you think you're being called to do?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Can I have more time?
Would you want me to talk about it first?
You talk about it first.
This is my podcast, really.
Yeah, it is. It is the Nick Page show.
We defined that a couple of weeks ago. Well, I've been thinking a lot about this term elder.
Right.
You know, that we don't really use it. Well, we sort of changed it within the church, didn't we? So because it's referred to in the New Testament... I think it's presbyteros, isn't it, as elder, elders became a sort of slight role within certain churches where basically put in place so that you can undermine any decisions the deacons made in many churches, really, and you could overrule. They're sort of like a little council, of advisors.
Good way of looking at it,
But in fact, the Bible talks about eldership quite a lot. The elders in Israel were the older, sort of respected people with wisdom, people with knowledge, people with a load of life experience in the cities. And they decided on cases. The cases were brought before them and they decided what they should do. They were sort of the government in some respects, local government. But what I like about the Old Testament bit is they always met by the gate. In various verses in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, I think it talks about an elder sort of sitting by the gate and being found there.
Right.
I like that idea of kind of being at transition points, being someone who can offer advice or can listen to people coming in and advise people going out. And, I think that's kind of nice, really.
And so
I want to think about what it means now to be an elder. With a small E, what does that mean? How do I pass on what I've learned? Also, be honest about what I've learned. Not, yeah. You know, because the tendency is now, I think, to look down on people who are a bit older because they're not technologically savvy or they're not.
Yeah.
And I think we need to value our experience and our wisdom.
Yeah.
But first, we need to collect it and treasure it and work it out what it is, because it's not just our opinions; it's things that we genuinely want to hand on. So I think my role is partly to do that, to work out what does it mean to share what wisdom I've learned with people younger than me, or indeed people older than me, or anyone, frankly, who's stupid enough to listen. Really, yeah. What does that mean?
Have a podcast. Yeah, it's an interesting talk. I'm gonna launch this quote on
you. Okay, yeah,
cool. This is my one bit of prep for this.
Excellent.
Podcast. Sadly lacking podcast, but
it's one more than normal, to be honest.
This is from a book that actually Rachel's reading. She read me this quote and I thought that's so interesting because I've never thought about this. And the book is The Feminine Face of God by Sherry Ruth Anderson and Patricia Hopkins. And I'm sad to just, you know, lift this quote right out of context, but I do think it's a really interesting thought. And and what she says is that once we're willing to embody the sacred in our lives, our maturing can proceed. We can say, in effect, I already know I'm a child of God. The question is, how can I be an adult of God? Which I love that idea. And then she goes on and says, as Marcia Falk, a poet and professor of religious study, tells us, we've been stuck in a childhood relationship with a parental God figure, but we can't afford to be there anymore. Far from being arrogant, what this means is taking responsibility so that we can really deeply celebrate divinity, which is a better gift to your parent. To fulfill your own life and to care for the lives around you, or to remain in constant dependency. The sick parent will prefer the latter, but that's not my notion of divinity. I don't want a sick parent for God.
Wow.
It's a really interesting thought, that, isn't it? Because I've always rather liked the metaphor of being a child of God. But I think that's an interesting point, isn't it? You do have to be a little bit careful with language. And is actually, you know, relating to this subject, is the call of God actually on us to become adults of God? I never heard that sermon. I've only, you know, it's always been about being a child of God, and that's a beautiful thing. But yeah, I mean, I want my kids to be adults. I don't want them to stay children and needy and dependent on me in that sense. So I just thought it's quite an interesting challenge to think about what would that mean to transition from being a child of God to being an adult of God, which I think speaks to this elder kind of thing.
Well, I don't. It's not an either or, is
no,
it? That's the thing. You're always, you always will be a child of God, and that, as you say, that's the thing that speaks to status and care and love and relationship.
Yeah,
but you don't have to remain childish. No, you know, you don't have to remain helpless. You can grow and learn.
And so
exactly that. I think it's about reflecting on your journey and what have you learnt and. What can you pass on?
So how do you do that? What's involved in the process of starting to think about, you know, what you do want to pass on, and what wisdom you do have? How do you go about that?
Well, I mean, there's lots of ways you could start with it. I mean, I think firstly, it's not to shut yourself away from other people. Mm. You know, so you can't pass on anything if you're not actually near somebody to pass it on to, you know. So I think to find valued work and to find a role and to keep active like that is really important. I think to have confidence in your own abilities is really important. I feel creatively pretty good. I don't feel like there's any slowing down there. Yeah, I think it's just to listen a lot, actually. So don't just rush in and offer advice. But it is to make sure that you I think, appreciate and value what you have learned. It is sometimes hard, I think, to work that out, really. Especially, you know, it's not in skills, you know. If you're a carpenter or a doctor or something like that, you know what you've learned. But for the rest of us, it's kind of hard. Yeah, it's a great question. But as you know, I've been thinking about wisdom and collecting wisdom. And the Bible is full of this idea that you can actually gather wisdom. You can have your own personal wisdom collection. Yeah. So to think about your own values, who you are, you know, what's really important to you, I think it is really a good thing to do as well. And I think above all, it's this: do not think that growing older is a question of loss. You know, you do lose things as you get older. You lose mobility, hair, and all kinds of stuff.
My kids.
But I think too often we characterise age as you had something and now you don't have something.
Yeah.
You know, that you had it all and now you don't have it all. And it's a diminution. It's going down the whole time. Okay. It's a downward
slope. Yeah, for sure. But actually you're gaining something as well.
Well, I think you were being invited into a new role.
Yeah.
So I've been reading this book by William Bridges called Transitions, and it's about change. Mm. Because I feel professionally, personally, all kinds of things.
You're going through the change.
I'm going through the change.
I feel that too.
But we all are, all the time. and age is like the biggest change, I think, that you go through, the biggest transition that you go through.
Yeah, for sure.
But he talks about three zones. It's very mid-faith, actually, this. He talks about every transition begins with an ending. So it begins with something ceasing, something changing, something stopping.
Well, this is a death and resurrection thing.
It again, is, yeah. It?
Back
and,
on that.
And then there's what he calls a neutral zone, which is when you feel lost a bit. You don't know what's going on.
It's an Easter Saturday thing.
It's an Easter Saturday thing. And his point is it's really important not to try and rush through that.
Because that's interesting.
You need to find out. The neutral zone is a chance to find out what the next move is. Mm. So our natural inclination in these moments is to sort of try and rush on to the next change, and so that we can fix it, and sometimes we want to go back to what we had before,
life great again.
Well, yeah, and then the final thing is a sort of change, a new beginning, something changes, something new. So I think the question I'm thinking of is, what has ended in my life? What has stopped? What's changing? And also, what's the invitation now? What role am I being invited to take up now? What's the new things that are going to happen in my life?
Mm.
It's not kind of like, you know, I was up on this level, and now the rest of my life I'm going to have to be on down on that level. Right. I don't think it's like that at all. You know, I hate this idea of going downhill.
Yeah,
you know, no, I think the only excuse for going downhill is to build up speed for a ski jump, basically, to go on, to launch yourself off.
But is there something about still being curious, still learning, still...
Absolutely.
Just because you're getting old doesn't mean you don't have to learn anymore. You don't have to be curious about life. In fact, probably the opposite. I don't know about you, but the longer I go on, the more curious I am about stuff that's going on and how it works and what... You know, the environment and the climate and, you know, just the wonders of nature. You know, I'm being drawn more and more into that. And as you learn more, I think you have a bit more wonder and awe in your life, don't you?
Absolutely. I think, as I get older, I think there's loads more that I want to explore about the faith.
Mm.
I just find aspects of it. Suddenly, I think... Mm. Oh, that's fascinating. I've never really thought about that before. I could really enjoy getting into that. So I think curiosity, awe, wonder, enjoyment, joy, you know, all these things are really important.
And do you think, again, the sort of confidence that comes with getting older is you feel like you can question faith more? Because for a long time, I think, you know, certainly early on in the sort of faith journey, you think, I just need to learn from the experts what's right. Because clearly, who am I to think that I could understand? Whereas now, I trust experts a lot less, I think.
Yeah.
Certainly when it comes to faith matters, you know, I trust my experience a little bit more, I think.
Mm.
I trust the divine... to reveal themselves to me in my life, I think, a lot more. You know, it's not a little separate thing that I've got to get right before I can experience the divine. The divine's here, you know, the divine is in this room, in our relationship, even.
Oh, on that sofa over there. Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah. Welcome.
Hey. That's lovely to see you. Yes, absolutely. And but that comes back to a bit what we were talking about last week with the creeds. You know, this idea that I think you can explore a lot more because your foreground, the stuff that's really important, is you need to be sure of that. Mm. You need to have that in place, I think. And as I get older, you know, I feel certain about certain things. You had this lovely phrase that I've quoted lots, which as you get older, you get more and more fundamental about less and less.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until it comes down to sort of God is love and that's
it,
really.
Yeah, it's a four-letter creed. Three letters, God is love. That's
so it. I think having your own values in place, because I think that's how you cope with change, is, and boy, I've had a lot of chance to think about this over the past few years, is a strong sense of self of who you are. Mm. So a child of God and an adult of God might play into that.
Both of those, that's who I am.
And that allows me to experience change. And I think the other thing is, welcome change, which I don't welcome very much. And most of us don't.
Yeah, but it's here to stay.
Well, the model of faith too often is if you I think it's called, is it called hypostasis? Ooh. So the theory is change is order, disorder, and then back to order again.
Right, reorder, yeah.
So,
you see, it's not reorder.
Hypostasis, I think a lot of churches and a lot of faith would want you to stay. You have a set of doctrine, you can go off into some doubt, into disorder, but come back to order. So it's order, disorder, order. And that's, you don't move at all, you don't change, you just go off and come back and you're the same as you were before. Mm. And actually, emotionally, a lot of us want that. You know, when we have experienced a disorder in our life, we want to go back to what it was before. That's what we want. But there's a thing called allostasis, a theory called allostasis, which is what you said, order, disorder, reorder.
Yeah.
So you're in one state, you then experience a period of disorder, and then you change, you reorder. Mm. And some of that old order might still be there. Some of that old way of being might be there. There'll be new things. And that is the way of change. And the way that you, I think, cope with that is to, be sure of who you are, be sure of your relationships, be sure of your values.
Yeah.
And hold on to those.
Fabulous. Well, look, listen, we've invited people into our conversation about getting old here, but what would you like our good listeners to do with this rambling conversation we're having?
Oh, look, I don't know. I've just finished my wine, virtually. I mean...
Well, I'll tell you then. Okay. We would love to hear from you. How are you seeing things as you get older, particularly anyone who's on the boundary of the old age of being 60 or 70 or 80? What's important now? What's less important now? And how do you see your role changing? What if anything, is your role now? I'd love to get the wisdom from our older listeners in particular. So send in an email to joe@midfaithcrisis.org. Love to hear from them.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, we should end it now because my glass is empty.
and
you've drunk your tea.
I've drunk
and it is
tea.
Now time to go and play petonk and generally...
We are having a wonderful time. And genuinely, thank you for coming away with me. What a beautiful thing this is.
It's lovely and I'm glad we were able to do this. Thank you very much for listening as ever. Thank you to those who support the podcast financially. That's wonderful. We really appreciate that. Thank you to people who pass it on and recommend it to others. That's really appreciated as well. That's how the audience may well one day reach beyond 17. We don't know. We have hopes. You know, we haven't given up. And we will be back with you next week.
Indeed we will. Cheers, everyone. Bless you.